as far as busy off seasons, hard to think that any NHL market has been quite as busy from top to bottom as the Pittsburgh Penguins. When it's the Phil Kessel trade, be it the other, you know, the draft, all these things that are going on, as well the fact that ownership might be in flux. They might be looking for a new owner. One of the men who broke this story first a long time ago is our good pal Mike Colligan from the Hockey Writers in Pittsburgh, and he joins us this afternoon. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing well, Rob. Yeah, thanks for having me. Certainly no shortage of off-season drama with this Pittsburgh Penguins franchise and a team that always seems to be in the news, whether it's acquiring a top player like Phil Kessel or, as you said, mentioned the potential sale. It's always a team that's really at the front of, I think, from a fan and commercial perspective, right there in the top of the headlines.
Well, let's deal with the ownership issue first, because I know you've been following this story for a long time, although maybe it's kind of hit the mainstream in the last couple of weeks with some of the dollar figures that have been thrown out there. But why sell the team right now? What's the kind of the motive behind this?
Well, it's really two major players when you think of the current ownership. Mario Lemieux, who we know very well, the former player that was actually the only reason he got involved in ownership was he was owed a significant amount of money when the Penguins went bankrupt back in 1999. And his group, his advisors, came up with this genius plan to roll that into an equity stake or an ownership stake in the Penguins and find some additional investors and take over the team and keep them in Pittsburgh. And we all know that that's worked out very well for the Penguins. And one of the other big money investors he got at the time was a guy named Ron Burkle, who's had significant business success buying and selling supermarkets, a guy that kind of knows when the peak of a business cycle is upon him. And I think when both of them are looking at this right now, you know, Mario has had a good 15-year run as owner and a guy that was never fond of the spotlight, doesn't love the attention. He'd rather be on the golf course with his buddies instead of standing in front of a group talking at a conference. And for Burkle, you know, a guy that looks at this team that at this point isn't going to get any better, I'd argue that they've already peaked and perhaps are on the downswing. But from a business perspective, that hasn't really hit them yet. So if this is going to get worse in the next few years here, certainly this is the time you want to start to think about weighing some of your strategic options. And that's exactly what Burkle and Lemieux are doing right now.
So, Mike, what's attractive about the Penguins? What do you get if you're negotiating to buy this team?
Well, I think one of the biggest upsides is they are on solid footing at this point. You know, Pittsburgh is certainly not Toronto or Los Angeles or New York, but it's a fan base that's pretty consistent and has been, despite the Penguins not winning a Stanley Cup over the last 5 or 6 years. And, the expectation after that first cup in 2009 was this would be the next dynasty. This is still a successful team. They make the playoffs every year, and they've got a fan base that's pretty supportive. Now, they've also got an arena deal and a land situation where around the arena they've got about 29 acres where they in their deal with the city to get a new Consol Energy Center built back in 2005, got kind of a sweetheart deal from the city as far as developing that land, the rights to do that. They haven't done much on that area at this point, but I think for any potential buyer that would be coming in, especially someone local in Pittsburgh, they'd love to get their hands on that to be able to take advantage of the commercial opportunities. I mean, we're looking at now Los Angeles around the Staples Center and Buffalo now with Terry Pegula putting in his Harbor Center. I mean, these are businessmen that are looking at teams as more valuable than just on the ice or just hockey teams. These are now entertainment companies, and I think they're looking for other revenue streams, especially when you think about those other revenue streams don't have to be shared with the player. So certainly a lot of those opportunities take place with this Pittsburgh Penguins franchise as well.
It's funny because you bring up 2005, and I remember watching that story unfold from afar and the need to get, you know, casino money and all the things that went to actually getting the Consol Energy Center built. Why did it work? Because it worked really well. I mean, it was desperate times back in 2005. We're talking about a team that could have relocated. At least that was the scuttlebutt. And here we are 10 years later, and this is a magnificent opportunity by all accounts for someone.
Well, you also remember around that time was one of those, after the lockout, they had a lottery and a hotel, I believe, in Ottawa, and that might have been the number one reason.
Okay.
Sidney Crosby, the lottery ball goes Pittsburgh's way. and a guy that changed the franchise. And, you know, we talk about Connor McDavid in Edmonton now and not putting too much pressure on him, but you look at what that can do for a city, for a franchise, for ownership that's in flux and doesn't know where they're going to be. Suddenly you get that star player, and it just changes everything. And I think when you look back, that was the beginning. It allowed them to get that arena. Now you've got top-end facilities that free agents want to come and play, not only with Crosby, but for an owner like Lemieux, in top-end facilities and a team with a strong fan base. It really all came together so quickly there and ultimately led to that Cup in 09.
With Mike Colligan from the Hockey Writers in Pittsburgh, we're talking about the Penguins. We'll morph into the team in a second. Just a couple more questions about the ownership situation. Is it fluid? Is it in flux? Is it in terms of who the parties might be? Is this something we anticipate being finished here in the next little while? Is there a timeline, I guess, Mike?
There's certainly no public timeline, and usually that's the case with these deals, but I think we'll see a deal by the end of the summer here, probably by the first week of the season. It will need Board of Governors approval, and if they meet prior to the season, that'd be a good time for this to wrap up. So we'll probably see it pick up steam over the next few weeks here as bids start to get serious. You know, you mentioned the league-wide look for bids for some of these new expansion teams. That might come into play as well as you just start to gauge the interest on who really wants a hockey team right now, who has the money, and most importantly, who's serious about it.
Mike, does Mario want out, or does Mario still want to have a role in this moving forward?
I think he'll maintain a minority stake, but to be honest, at this point, he would want to move on from everything I can sense.
Sure.
I think the same could be said of Berkel as well, a guy that has a lot of other business interests. These are two guys that are ready for the next phase. Now, that said, I think any new owner that comes in is going to want Mario Lemieux involved in at least a minority stake. You know, just the value and kind of the aura that he has around him right now.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that saved the team multiple times. He's certainly a name that you at least want attached to the Penguins.
Is there any local synergy? I mean, is there anybody on the, you know, on the surface there that looks like they would be the perfect candidate? Is there or anybody with ties to the sporting community in Pittsburgh?
Well, yeah, when the name that always comes up whenever we hear teams in Pittsburgh available is Mark Cuban, and obviously very famous for his ownership of the Dallas Mavericks and the NBA, and he's very outspoken. He's a guy that grew up in Pittsburgh and was involved for a bit as far as in this area. He had an opportunity to buy the Penguins about 10 years ago and either passed on it or the deal fell through, but he now regrets doing that. Whether he'll get back in, that's a tougher question. But another guy is Chuck Greenberg. He was involved with the Texas Rangers, and they took over with Nolan Ryan, took over the Rangers a handful of years ago. Greenberg's no longer involved with that team, but has ties to Cuban and also being down in that Texas area are two guys that at least have the money, the connections, and the ability and the interest to come together. Now, the NHL prefers groups of investors as opposed to kind of one big money guy, so they'll have to find some other interested parties, and especially with that land factor, who's going to be the building and developer. But those are all questions that tend to occur behind the scenes, and we'll see ultimately who comes out as far as an auction or a bidding process if that takes place over the next few weeks here.
Mike Colligan from the Hockey Writers, our guest here on The Big Show, as we talk about the Penguins. Let's head on over to the ice. As we see, we'll get into Phil Kessel and some of the other moves, but as we sit here today in the middle of summer, you mentioned 6 years removed from a Stanley Cup, you know, Genny Malkin's 28, Sidney Crosby's 27. Those are good ages. But where is this Penguins team at in your eyes? Because since Jim Rutherford's taken over, it looks like, you know, he's kind of, you know, gone all in, not that anybody didn't, but, you know, a lot of draft picks have been moved out. Prospects have been moved out. Where is this team in terms of its development and where it's going?
Yeah, I think it's really on the tail end of that all-in process. It's a team that's gone all-in for a number of years. I mean, if you look back, I was just looking the other day back at their last 10 drafts, and that includes the one that just happened. They have four players from the first and second round currently under contract, four out of 10 different years. I mean, that tells you plenty about just year after year after year after year, they've invested and traded away these draft picks, and sooner or later that catches up to you. I mean, the Penguins have the high-end talent, but just absolutely no depth in the system, and that becomes troublesome when you get to kind of the tail end of that those bets that you've put down. And so the opportunity is now for this Penguins team. I think prior to the Kessel deal, I actually would have said they would have been tough to make the playoffs next year. That Metropolitan division is getting very strong. When you think of what Columbus has been able to do, I think they'll actually be one of the favorites in the East this year as a sneaky pick. And you've got New York, Philadelphia's back on the rise, Florida's lurking under there. There's a lot of teams that I think are going to give the Penguins a lot of trouble this year. But Kessel certainly takes some of that pressure off. He's a high-end scorer that can play on those top two lines, but it's going to, again, be the spotlight on those superstars. And we know that's been the story in Pittsburgh for the last few years here. They haven't been able to come through, but that pressure is not going to go away as now that the Penguins, I think, are really on the last legs of this Crosby-Malkin era.
And it seems like from afar anyway that your youth movement, if there is one, is on the blue line, right?
It is. At this point, you know, they've lost now. Over the last two summers, they've lost Paul Martin, Christian Ehrhoff, Brooks Orpik, Matt Niskanen. I'm forgetting one more, but that's a lot to lose on the back end. That's a lot of talent, and they're replacing them with youngsters that, at this point in the salary cap era, if you're paying that much money to Kessel and Crosby and Malkin, you need that youth and those cheaper contracts on the blue line. Now, with that comes inexperience, and we'll see what some of these highly talented defensive prospects are ultimately made of. But that's going to be the biggest question for this Penguins team. I think they'll have no problem scoring goals with all that offensive talent. But on the back end, are they going to have enough? And we know that the workhorse there is Chris Letang, but his injury history, he's missed significant portions of the last few seasons. If he goes down, this is suddenly a very shallow blue line. So either Marc-Andre Fleury will have to step up, or they'll simply have to outscore teams. And in that case, I think it actually could be a pretty entertaining team to watch with all the high-end talent and the fireworks that they're capable of. Sure. It'll certainly be a team, win or lose, that could be fun to watch.
You know, it's funny, Mike, around here, Calgary gets to the playoffs, and all of a sudden this summer, it's all been about, you know, where's the budget going to be? Where's the money going to be spent over the next coming, you know, players haven't even come out of contracts. So we're already projecting where they're going to be. What about in Pittsburgh for the Penguins? What kind of salary cap implications do they have moving forward?
Well, certainly those big guns up front. I think a big value in the Kessel trade was that they got Toronto to retain 15% of his salary. You know,
right.
He's a high-end player. He's in his prime. But to even just save a million or two, and if you can do – those are the things that add up. If you don't take advantage of those opportunities and you look at what teams like I think even Minnesota a couple years ago were loading up on the Parisis and the Suitors, but then they had depth guys that really weren't great impact players making $3 and $4 million, and they had a number of them, and it just made it too tough for them to win. And so I think the Penguins are trying to be smart with some of their depth players. They're going to give some youngsters an opportunity on the fourth line this year. They've brought over a Russian, Sergei Plotnikov, that I think they hope Malkin will take under his wing a bit and potentially even turn into a top six winger. We know that can be a tough move for players to come over from that KHL and jump right into a top six role in the NHL, but they certainly are going to give him an opportunity. And then they've got some older veterans, Pascal Dupuis, a guy that missed most of the last couple seasons with knee injuries and blood clots. He's determined to get back on the ice, and we know that he's been a top six or even top line forward alongside Sidney Crosby. Even if he could move into a third line role, that would be beneficial for the Penguins because they're going to need that depth and they're going to need those veteran players to really take this team over. And as they look to the future, then the questions start to come up as Dupuis and Chris Kunitz and some of these older players move on. I'm a little concerned about what they lack in the pipeline as far as offensive prospects go in coming seasons.
With Mike Colligan from the Hockey Writers, we're talking about the Pittsburgh Penguins, and I just want to kind of finish up here, and that's off the ice, but in management and hockey operations. Jimmy Rutherford's been very interesting to watch here, and I don't know how much you got into the Peter Karmanos Jr. Comments. It seemed like there was a little bit of a friction between his former club and Rutherford. How do you view him? Is he still in the evaluation process? Is he still, you know, got the good graces of being a recent hire, or is he under the gun?
He was under the gun. I think with the Penguins struggling down the stretch last year, and they were only playing with five defensemen as a result of kind of mismanaging the salary cap a bit, and that really got him out of the good graces of the fan base. And it takes just one of those things to kind of have everyone turn on you,
sure,
especially when the pressure is on. So at this point, I think he's struggling a bit, but I think the Kessel trade was certainly a boost for that. Many thought that was a bit of a steal for the Penguins to not have to give up one of their top defensive prospects in Olimata or Derek Pouliot and still be able to acquire Kessel. I think that at least bought him some time. Now, as far as Carmona's goes, and that was certainly an interesting dynamic between the two of them, you know, that Alexander Semin was with the big money, big time signing that ultimately didn't work out down in Carolina there. So maybe some bad blood as Carmona looks to Pittsburgh and Rutherford now making all of these splashes and ultimately Rutherford having a free reign up there. So we'll see what happens. He's obviously at 66 years old, not going to be there long term. And so in that case, they're going to have to find out what their long-term future is. And with new ownership coming in, that might be the perfect opportunity to just look at this franchise, decide, are they really still competing for a Stanley Cup? And we might see some sweeping changes if they decide that's not the case.
I think I saw this, and maybe I didn't, but did I see Jacques Martin was brought back by the team as kind of an eye in the sky?
He is, yeah. You know, we see a lot of teams doing that now. And the Penguins, even Pascal Dupuis actually sat in that role last year. Mm. Was sitting there trying to get involved. And we're just seeing teams experiment a little bit more, especially teams with some money to be able to spend off the ice. You know, you're limited with the salary cap on player contracts. But if you can get creative, and, you know, Toronto's a perfect example now of utilizing the power of Big Blue up there and the money that they have. The Penguins thought that would be a good opportunity to have Jacques Martin still retain his kind of – he was operating as an advanced scout. Now they're going to have him focus more and utilize video in that capacity, but also be, like you said, the eye in the sky, an extra assistant coach to help the coaching staff and offer some assistance from that perspective as well.
Never dull. Mike, I know we've been trying to put this together for a while because the Penguins story is one worth noting. So I really appreciate you making some time for us today. Always good to talk to you.
Always fun, Rob. Thanks a lot and happy to hop on anytime.